A man asked a preacher how he got the crowds. The preacher, who was John Wesley, said, "I set myself on fire and the people come to see me burn." I'm going to show you a man who is like that in the Bible. And the world's never been the same. Keep listening.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. For Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who
friends, my name is Don Rule, and I speak every week on this program called Perception, a work of the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Yes, so a preacher set himself on fire, and the people came to see him burn. In the same way, how did Paul live the Christian life the way he did? He set himself on fire. Philippians chapter 3 has shown that the fire was Christ. If Paul had a tombstone, this chiasmus could easily be written on it. Here rests a man who never rested here. Today we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Starting out in verse 12, Paul said, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Paul recognized his own need for continued improvement. Generally, most people recognize their need. The difference with Paul, though, is that he did something about it. He was not content spiritually. According to what he will say later in Philippians chapter 4, when it came to material things, he was content. There in Philippians 4:11 he wrote, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." However, the reason the New Testament was written was to reverse our natural tendency. We want to be content spiritually, but we are not content materialistically. However, we are supposed to not be content spiritually and to be content materialistically. So Paul said, "I press on." He was not discouraged. He did not conclude, "Well, this is just the way I am, and you have to accept me like that." No, he says, "I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Powerful hand was laid on his shoulder, turning him right around in his tracks. Paul was conscripted into the service of Christ, but never was there a more willing conscript. The passion of his life from that hour on was to serve his new master and fulfill the purpose for which he had conscripted him. If you're a Christian, you have been drafted into the Lord's army. Now, do your duty. Now, let me read to you verses 13 and 14. of Philippians 3. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What it often comes down to is one thing. In Mark 10, Jesus told a rich young ruler that he only lacked one thing. Jesus looked at the man, loved him, and then said to him this: one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. The Bible tells us that there was a man in Acts chapter 10 by the name of Cornelius. He only lacked one thing. Martha, in Luke chapter 10, lacked only one thing. Now, in most cases, that would be a compliment. I mean, if the Lord told you, now you only lack one thing. There's only one flaw in your life. You think, man, I am so glad to hear that because I thought I had a whole lot more than that. But what if it's the very heart and soul of Christianity that you're lacking? Then that's not a compliment. It's a serious rebuke. So, Paul said, in Philippians 3, that he was forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Forget the past. Look at how Paul is picturing himself. He speaks of himself as a runner, but with one object in view: to finish the race and to win the prize. A competitor in a race does not look over his or her shoulder to see how much ground has been covered already or how rivals are doing. Runner just keeps his eyes fixed on the finish line. What is behind is that part of the race that has been completed so far. But it doesn't help a runner if he wins the first 9/10 of the race, only to falter and be overtaken in the last lap. In this context, Paul is speaking of forgetting his past that consisted of his heritage and his accomplishments, and his sins. Moreover, it has to include the sins committed against him. Often people are taken through a process whereby they relive a horrible incident. But this does not help. It even makes it worse. Listen to Luke 17 and verse 32. For Jesus gave us three simple words when he said, remember Lot's wife. Why should I remember Lot's wife? About the only thing that's said about her is that she looked back. She looked back when the Lord had told her not to look back, and for it she was turned into a pillar of salt. Again in Luke, Jesus gave an illustration in verse 62 when he said this: no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You cannot plow straight if you're looking back over your shoulder. I can remember one year, many years ago, during the wintertime, I was walking from my home to my office at the church building. The parking lot was full of snow. And I remembered what Jesus said here. And so I started to walk, and I fixed my eyes on a certain part of the building. Then I stopped, and I looked behind me, and I had walked a perfectly straight line. That took me about halfway across the parking lot. Then from that point, I continued to walk in, and then I started looking over my left shoulder, and then my right shoulder, back and forth, until I finally got to the front door, and then I looked back, and my footsteps were going all over the place. They were not straight anymore. We need to forget accomplishments and hurts, forget the things of the past. Reach for the future, Paul said. We cannot change the past, but we can change the future because, as you know, it hasn't happened yet. In Exodus 14:15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." And so, in Philippians 3:14, Paul said, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Pressing forward, or stretching forward, is a picture of a runner leaning forward to win the race. You know how they do that. They just put everything into stretching their bodies out right to the point where if they go any further, they're going to fall over. They are so focused on the prize. They are so focused on crossing that finish line. In Christianity, there is a prize to be awarded. And Paul here is making sure that he's going to secure it. He's comparing himself to a runner, like in the early Olympic Games. He looks forward to hearing the president of the Games call him up to receive the prize. On a special occasion in Rome, this call might come from the emperor himself. And how proudly the successful athlete would obey the summons and step up to the imperial box to accept the award. But for Paul, the president of the Games was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Yes, the eye reaches forward. The hands are reaching forward as he's running. And the eye and the hand reaching forward, and the whole body just brings the foot right along to get across the finish line. Concentration upon that goal or that mark is crucial. A preacher from many, many, many centuries ago, Chrysostom, said, "He that runs looks not at the spectators, but at the prize. Whether they be rich or poor, if one mock them, applaud them, insult them, throw stones at them, if one plunder their house, if they see children or wife or anything whatsoever, the runner is not turned aside, but is concerned only with his running and winning the prize." Now, when I read that from Chrysostom, I thought, that sounds like an exaggeration. And yet, I started to think about great Olympic athletes that America has had. And I realized that Chrysostom was right. For often, they've lost relatives, even the day before the race. They've had other tragedies, but you know what? They keep running. Chrysostom went on to say, "He that runneth stoppeth nowhere, since if he be a little remiss, all is lost. He that runneth relaxeth in no respect before the end, but then most of all stretcheth over the course." Those are wise words from that old preacher. We need to be the same way, just like those runners who will not quit running for anything. Because the prize that we're talking about here is not just some material prize that some government gives us. It is the prize that God gives to us, which involves eternal life. Maybe this is why Jesus taught us one time in Luke 21:34, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly." In other words, watch out. If you get distracted with this life, the partying, or even just the normal everyday cares, if you're not careful, those things will cause you to be distracted from the great day that's coming, and all of a sudden that day is here and you think, "What happened? How did I miss it? Why did I know this was coming?" In Luke 10:41-42, Jesus was at the home of two sisters. One of the sisters, Mary, was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach. But the other sister, Martha, was concerned about serving and doing a lot of other things. And she went up to Jesus and, "Lord, tell my sister to help me." But here's what Jesus said in Luke 10:41-42. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." the kind of mental conditioning that makes athletes into superstars also helps ordinary folks become extraordinary, according to an article in U.S. News & World Report back in 2000. This article, called Into the Zone, also said, when the mind is completely focused, even unaware of what it's doing, an individual can achieve the extraordinary. When you're in the zone, it's so quiet, it's so peaceful, said Harriet Ross, a potter from Hartsdale, New York, in the article. Speaking about athletes, the article went on to say, they've shot thousands of foul shots. But the issue is not shooting the foul shot. The issue is screaming fans, no time on the clock, and your whole team is looking for you to perform. In other words, it's the pressure. The issue is focus. That is, there are many distractions, but why are there some who become superstars? They block those distractions out. The article also said, you have some incredible athletes, physically blessed people, who are just not able to pull it off during a match. All because their mental strength lets them down, or they couldn't focus, or they get distracted. And this is why many Christians fall away. The prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, the Christian must be like the sun, but not like Hezekiah's sun, which went backwards, nor like Joshua's sun, which stood still. Christians must be like David's sun, which, as David wrote in Psalm 19, rejoices as a giant to run his course. What is in your future? If you are in school, what are you doing there? What do you hope to achieve? If you are working or have graduated and started working, what are you doing there? What do you hope to achieve? If you are done working and have now retired, what are you doing? What do you hope to achieve? If you answer that someday you're going to die, what is going to happen then? What will school, your job, or your retirement have done for you that prepares you for what comes after this life? Friends, listen to what Paul's saying here in Philippians 3. He says, forget the past and reach for the future. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then having fellowship with Him. Whether you're in school or out of it, whether you're working or have quit working, whatever you're doing, let Him be the focus of your life. Do you see that your life has not been summed up in Christ? You know, many years ago, in the book of Acts, Peter was speaking to a group of Jews whose lives definitely were not summed up in Christ. In fact, they had killed Christ. And Peter convinces them of the fact that Jesus was indeed the Christ, that He is the Lord of heaven and earth. And when they finally realize that, guilt pierces their soul, their hearts like a sword would. They hurt deeply. And the Bible says that they cried out to Peter and the other apostles preaching with him, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter gave this answer. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was Acts 2, 37 and 38. My dear friends, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you see what Paul's been saying here in Philippians chapter 3, how our lives must be summed up in Christ? If so, is that knowledge strong enough in your heart that it's moving you to change your life? Are you wanting to repent, that is, to cease from sin and to live in righteousness? Do you want to walk with Jesus? Do you want to go to heaven when you die? Then you must repent. Okay, now maybe you're thinking, well, what do I do about the sins I've committed? What about these people here in Acts 2? They had been guilty of killing the Son of God. I've done some pretty awful things too. What about me? Well, Peter gives the same answer. He says, every one of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If you do that, you will then receive the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. My dear friends, have you done those things? Have you expressed your belief by saying to someone, the one who's getting ready to baptize you, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Is your life showing that you're changing? Have you been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? If not, I plead with you to get in touch with the Nile Street Church of Christ. You can call 541-882-5894. That's 882-5894. And if someone is not at the phone right away, leave a message. And you will receive a call. And someone will sit down with you and show you from the Scriptures what you must do to be saved if you're not already clear about what you need to do. But also, even before you do that, I'd like to encourage you to worship with the Nile Street Church of Christ. There are Bible classes for all ages at 10 o'clock. And then worship for everyone at 11 o'clock, and again in the evening at 6 o'clock. In the Yellow Pages, you will find all the information that you need. There's the worship times, the phone number, as well as a map to show you exactly where the church building is located in Klamath Falls. It's easy to find if you just look at the map. My friends, I want to encourage you to continue to read through the book of Philippians. Meditate on this great book. And see what we're being taught in it. In fact, I would encourage you to do this. As you go through the Bible, and if you mark in your Bible, circle every time, or underline, that Paul mentions something about Jesus and what we have in Jesus. Now, he might use the word Jesus or Christ or a combination of those. He might use the word Lord or use it in combination with one of those first two words or both of them. Every time there's any kind of a reference to Jesus, even just a pronoun like him or something like that, make a note of it. Do it in red or something like that so it'll stand out in your Bible. And you will then be amazed by what you see. And you will see how often Paul refers to Christ and how many things he says the Christian has in Christ. And you will agree with the terminology that the life of a Christian is summed up in Christ. Without Christ, we are nothing. With Christ, we are everything. I think you'll be amazed and fascinated when you go through that study. And I would, of course, encourage you, invite you to continue to follow along as we go through the book of Philippians. We've just left off at Philippians 3 in verse 14. And we've got a little bit more to go. We've got a few more verses in chapter 3 and then the rest of chapter 4. And what beautiful messages are there awaiting us. If there's any way we can be of service to you, we encourage you to give us a call. You can send an email to me at rduhl@aol.com. That's rdrule@aol.com. You can also go to a website, www.grantspasschurchofchrist.com, and on the left you will see a button that says Dawn's Corner. You can click that, and then that will take you to these radio messages that you're hearing, as well as other sermons that I have preached at the Grants Pass, or the Savage Street Church of Christ in Grants Pass, Oregon. Let us know how we can be of service to you. Till next Sunday, my friends, sharpen your perception about forgetting the past and reaching for the future. This has been Don Rule in the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
Faithful love, face to face, and Jesus is.